Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Dispelling the myths about political intervention, supporting or opposing candidates for office. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this important issue. With regards to this issue, Matt, it's important to note that there are two different kinds of things, being in favor of or opposing legislation, which we call lobbying, and that is perfectly permissible, and not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for doing so. And then political intervention, which is what I want to talk about right now, being in favor of or opposing someone who's running for elected office. The person who is nominated or appointed to an office or a position, like a Supreme Court justice being nominated and voted upon for the position of the United States Supreme Court justice, that person falls in the lobbying category, not the political intervention. So in the political intervention, whether it's a 501c3, that's a church or not a church, an organization, in other words, that's tax exempt, contributions to which are tax deductible. The IRS code says, as of 1954, that you can't support or oppose a candidate for office, that you can't do it. It's a prohibition that you cannot do so. But even so, not one church from then till now has ever lost its tax exempt status.
So it's important to make that distinction again between a church, which is inherently tax exempt. By virtue of being a church, it's part of its DNA. A church is born tax exempt, and you cannot remove that tax exemption from the DNA of a church. Even the IRS can't. Versus an organization, which has to have a letter of tax exemption issued by the IRS, that can be yanked if there is political intervention going on with a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yeah, and the best way to illustrate this regarding a church is the church at Pierce Creek out of New York. In 1992, that church took out full-page ads in the USA Today and the Washington Times newspapers and spent tens of thousands of dollars for those ads. And in those ads, they opposed then-Governor Bill Clinton for president because of his position on abortion. At the bottom of those ads, the church listed its address and solicited additional contributions so that the church could run additional ads to cover the cost of those expensive ads that they placed in these newspapers. Well, as you know, in 1992, Bill Clinton won the presidency. And after that, the IRS contacted the church. And clearly, the church had crossed the line because they associated the church's name, publicly spent tens of thousands of dollars in doing so, and opposed a candidate for office. No question that they crossed the line. This particular church had a letter. It's one of the churches that has voluntarily chosen to have a letter. About half the churches have letters. About half the churches don't have letters. They're absolutely meaningless either way. This church then did not want to negotiate with the IRS, although it could have easily done so. Why? Because there's no more elections. They could have said, sorry, yes, we understand we crossed the line, but we're not intending to endorse someone publicly in the near future. That would have been true, because there's nobody to endorse or oppose anymore. The elections are over. But this church wanted to pick a fight with the IRS. The IRS took the letter, but during the Court of Appeals hearing and in the opinion, the court said that the letter was symbolic for churches because they don't need it, as you said. They are born with tax exemption, so they don't need it. It's not something that they acquire later. It's who they are. They're tax exempt. They're immune from having to obtain a letter. And that the IRS's revocation of the letter was a symbolic gesture, had no substantive meaning, and the IRS even admitted during the oral argument not one contribution to the church was taxable. That church never lost its tax-exempt status and never lost the contribution that the people gave to it. Even that church that crossed the line.
The one.
Clearly
one
did
instance. That
clearly did it. No question. Spent thousands of dollars in doing so, made it public. Even that church didn't lose its tax exempt
status. Never lost its tax-exempt status. Again, a church can't lose its tax-exempt status by virtue of being a church. Matt, there have been thousands of pastors who have challenged the Johnson Amendment, who are goading the IRS, fixing for a fight. They want to go to court, want to see this challenge because it's as it pertains to churches, the Johnson Amendment is pretty clearly unconstitutional. And I think that maybe the IRS knows that, so they have not gone to court. The IRS hasn't even tried to yank a
now,
church.
Now the IRS, because they know that it's a paper tiger and that they would be like the Wizard of Oz with the booming voice. They kind of like that. They like Barry Lynn and others sending out letters that would try to silence churches. But then when you pull the curtain back and you realize, hey, this is not so scary after all, they don't want to have that revealed, and so they haven't really pushed it because they wouldn't have any teeth. I served on a commission that was a congressional commission in which we had panels of experts looking at IRS laws, including this law that came in 1954 from then Lyndon Baines Johnson when he was a senator. And it came in with no debate and no discussion. It was just added to the IRS code. And he did it as a vindictive act against a nonprofit, not a church, that opposed his candidacy for Senate. He won, and this is what we have. But we've recommended that this be repealed and modified as part of this commission. Now, I know you may not want to go as far as this church. Most churches won't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars and put ads in full newspapers and have their name associated for or against a candidate. I understand that. But this church did, and it still didn't lose its tax-exempt status. Here's what you clearly can do, not only can do, but I think should do. Pastors and people in the church can preach on any topic at any time. It's always in season if it's in the Bible. And just because politicians are talking about abortion or marriage or poverty or whatever it may be, doesn't mean that it becomes a political issue off limits. And you can talk about not only the church's position, but the people who are supporting or opposing those particular positions. So you can preach on any topic. You can educate along with preaching on that topic. Educate by explaining what the candidates or the incumbents act or believe on that particular position. You can do it through PowerPoints. You can do it verbally. You can do it through a handout. You can do it through an objective voter guide. And Liberty Counsel reviews a lot of voter guides that are prepared by a number of organizations around the country, and we review them for compliance. So if you ever want to have a voter guide, you can always call 800-671-1776 and have us review it, or you may ask for the voter guides that we have available already.
And you don't – the pastor doesn't have to remain neutral either. He can stand on that pulpit, and he can say, candidate, you know, Joe Blow is running for this particular seat. Here's what his position has been on these biblical issues, on abortion, on counterfeit same-sex marriage. And he can clearly show, here's what the Bible says. Here's what candidate Joe Blow says. They are at odds. I mean, there's...
And, you know, and that has happened historically within the African-American churches. In fact, one of the pastors, who I won't name, but he was on one of the committees there, says, I have endorsed candidates. I do endorse candidates. I will endorse candidates. That's happened all the time. Now, you may not want to endorse a candidate. You might want the candidate to endorse your values. But whatever you do, you can certainly educate about what those candidates believe and educate what the Bible says and encourage people to vote. So you can have a candidate speak at your church. You can acknowledge the candidate. You can have a candidate forum or debate. You can have voter registration, and you have to comply with your local laws on that, but you can bring in voter registrars from your local community to register. You can encourage people to vote. And by the way, I would encourage you to convey that voting is not a political act. It's not a dirty word. It's a prophetic witness to the community. As you act and believe on Sunday, you ought to extend that on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and every other day of the week.
So again, pastors, if you get that letter from Barry Lynn at Americans United for Separation of Church and State threatening that you will lose your tax-exempt status if you get involved in politics in any way, line your birdcage with it because that's all it's worth.
So you can go to lc.org, that's lc.org, or pastorsandchurches.org. That's a special website that we have just for pastors and churches. We have guidelines and other information about what pastors and churches can do with regards to political activity. Not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for lobbying, for against legislation or laws, or for political intervention, for against a candidate. You can also ask for the Pastors and Patriots Action Kit. Go to lc.org. Again, the website is lc.org or pastorsinchurches.org. We want pastors all over the country to have this information to free them up. We want to tell them what they can do and dispel the myths But we also want to tell them why they should do it. And so we do that in the DVD and other material. What you can do is replace the muzzle with a megaphone. Remove all the fear. Remove the intimidation. And preach the word in season and out of season. You need to be watchmen on the wall. You need to be voices for your community and voices of biblical truth. Why should you do it? Because if there is an opportunity for you to save a life and you don't, if you're silent at that moment when you have the opportunity to save a life by putting someone in office that protects the sanctity of human life and you don't, then you're complicit in the destruction of human life. It is time for us to speak up and act. Go to lc.org or pastorsandchurches.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.